Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, as always. Today's Monday, January 2nd. The last New Year's Six Bowl just finished up. The semifinals happened on Saturday, so we're all set for the national championship next Monday, TCU versus Georgia. Week 17 in the NFL is wrapping up. The player for the Bills got hurt, and we're in the middle of the suspension as we're recording this right now, so not sure if that game's going to carry on or not, but we're kind of in the midst of that. Basically, week 17 wrapped up, and we know the playoff scenarios for next week, last week of the season. And from a football perspective, that's everything that's been going on.
Yes, important, probably the... Well, certainly for college football, it's the most important time. But with the NFL, you know, in the regular season, it's kind of like this is where, even though I'm watching football all year, this is when, you know, kind of you really start to lock in, like the meme of the guy kind of leaning forward. This is kind of where it all really starts to matter.
Yeah. No, definitely. And there's a few different things. The semifinals were great. We're going to start with the New Year's Six Bowls. We'll do that. Just go through all the New Year's Six Bowls briefly. Probably focus more on the semifinal games and then talk about the national championship a bit and then look at the kind of the playoff scenario, what we got coming ahead of us in the NFL. Before we get into that, is there anything you wanted to discuss?
No, just excited to go through some of these bowl games.
Does New Year's get less and less interesting as an adult? You didn't even stay up this year.
No, did not stay up this year. Well, I don't know. It's just like I don't particularly mark the year starting in January. Like our birthday is in August, so that's part of it. But part of it is because I went to school for a long time and now I teach school. And so for me, the year really starts in August. Like it's a new year in August, you know? So
that's when the football season starts.
Yeah. And it's also like, and even though like I'm a big believer in goals, I don't really care about resolutions just because, like, if I have something I want to do, I'm going to start working towards it. You know, if it's January and I think it's like, oh, it's time for me to set a goal. What should it be? That's never a goal that I'm going to keep, you know? And so New Year's resolutions do not work for me personally. If they work for you, that's great. And I'm happy for you, but just has never really been a thing for me.
The gym was packed today.
I'll bet.
Not an open treadmill in sight.
Yes.
It was. I think it was a combination of that and it was a Monday school, like the holiday thing. It's just kind of the combination of everything.
And for those of you who are in Utah, like you, I run outside basically any weather. This, it was like you can't really run outside right now. Just so much snow.
Yeah, it's snowing. Brighton Ski Resort in Utah got the most snow of any resort in the world this week. And that's not even counting like these 5 inches. Like it's just been dumping. So yeah, couldn't run. But anyway, let's get to the football. So let's go through New Year's Six Bowls real quick. The first one was, and honestly, some of them mean more than others, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like the Orange Bowl, Clemson versus Tennessee. Tennessee won relatively handily. Clemson is playing Cade Klubnik, the freshman. Tennessee had Joe Milton, the backup to Hendon Hooker, and they still won pretty handily. A lot of the Tennessee's best players weren't playing, and they still won. There's not like a lot to take away from this game other than Tennessee looked really good, and I'd expect him to be ranked pretty high next year. You know, but like I don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like hard to look at moving forward. You know, Clemson, I'm sure, would have liked to see their freshman come out, get a few more points in 14. But yeah, this is probably the least important of all the bowls, I would think. At least of the New Year's Six Bowls, anyway.
It certainly was the most orange.
Yes, very orange bowl.
A lot of orange. I didn't even make that connection. It was Orange Bowl, too. The other ones, the next one was a Sugar Bowl. Alabama beat Kansas State. Kansas State got out to a big jump. Bryce Young, I was surprised that Bryce Young played, Will Anderson played, Jamar Gibbs played, Brian Branch played. All four of those guys declared within the next couple of days for the NFL draft. Will Anderson and Bryce Young probably going in the top three, like both of those players. Jahmyr Gibbs could be a first round running back. A lot of people think Brian Branch is the best safety in the NFL. I was surprised a lot of them or all of those guys played in that game. You know?
Yeah, and you know, good for them, because I feel like when Alabama doesn't make the playoff, it's of course a letdown. And then they always kind of get the Sugar Bowl, so it's not even really an exciting bowl. It seems like a bowl game that all these guys have played in before. So good for those guys. And like, obviously, if you are going to the NFL, I'm not going to hold against you if you don't want to get hurt. That's probably what I would do in that situation, even though it's not totally clear to me why you play the whole season and then the bowl game is the one you don't want to play. I would think, you know, getting out, you know, halfway through the regular season would make more sense in that scenario. But, you know, it is fun to see these bowl games. When these guys play, it makes it feel like it's more important. And so just having those guys in the game, having Bryce Young go in and try to win the game, it made it feel much more important. Like you mentioned, Tennessee just had a bunch of guys who were hurt. Clemson's basically getting ready for next year. There's no real reason to watch it.
Well, yeah, Alabama last year was in the national championship game defending SEC champions. So you'd think for them a Sugar Bowl is kind of a letdown. So it was good to see those guys play. Would have been fun if Kansas State would have won. But like with all that talent, it was always going to be difficult. Next game was the first semifinal game. This was nuts. I was skiing, so I missed the first part of it. Caught the second half. TCU 51, Michigan 45. Two pick sixes for TCU. I think every possession in the third quarter was a touchdown. Like,
yeah,
it was just bananas. It was one of the craziest games ever. TCU, a lot of people were saying that they didn't deserve, I don't know about deserve, but like they backed in, they weren't as good as the other teams. And I thought Michigan was going to beat them pretty easily. And they looked really good out there.
Yeah.
Silenced a lot of people.
Yeah, TCU just, you know, kind of the cardiac kids. They just find a way to win, even though it feels like every single game they've played the entire year has been close. They've won all of them except one game, you know? And so I never know how much I should really trust these teams, because obviously a better team would be winning by more points. But I also feel like winning close games is a skill, and not every team is good at it. There's a lot of good teams that don't know how to win close games. And so if TCU ends up with Georgia and it ends up being within a field goal or so, I'm going to feel pretty good about TCU. I don't know if it's going to be able to get to that point, but you know, if there's a team that's going to be able to pull something out against Georgia, I think TCU showed that they know how to do that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. So they looked really good. Max Duggan played really well. Quinn Johnson's a really good receiver, made a bunch of plays. And Michigan, they turned the ball over a couple times. I didn't score from goal-to-goal situation a couple times. Just little things like that in a game like this, just missed opportunities. That's the second year in a row they lose in the semifinals. Got to be frustrating. Some rumors Jim Harbaugh might go to the NFL. To me, none of the jobs available would be better than what he has at Michigan. J.J. McCarthy's coming back, so I don't think that makes sense. They got a lot of really good guys in the transfer portal. So if I were Jim Harbaugh at my alma mater making a ton of money, you have a role in being Ohio State 2 years in a row. Doesn't make sense, but he's wired very different than everybody else. So
yeah, who knows what he's going to do? It just, I don't know. It feels like in that situation, if you're trying to go out and accomplish something, I feel like you want to take one more crack at getting that national championship.
Yeah, he's so competitive.
Yeah, you know, you're so close. And I definitely get why he might want to go back to the NFL. I think being an NFL coach, maybe not easier skill-wise, but in terms of trying to recruit players and keeping track in the transfer portal and all that, I think being an NFL coach might be easier in that regard. But yeah, see if you can get a national championship before you go back.
Yeah, and I agree. So that was an awesome game. The next game came down the wire. Ohio State losing to Georgia on a last-second field goal miss from Ohio State. They were up 10, a couple points, at least 1 point, I think a couple points during the game by double digits, and Georgia came back. Stetson Bennett, for all my criticism, played pretty well, except for the interception, I think, was just a miscommunication with the receiver, so don't want to blame that all on him. C.J. Stroud played really well. Marvin Harrison was dominating that game. The thing I didn't even watch anything when Ohio State was on offense and Georgia was on defense because I was watching Keely Ringo, Georgia cornerback, who went to Saguaro High School.
Hey, shout out.
When I lived in Scottsdale, that was the track I would run on because it was right by my house. So, so he's actually there when I was like living in Scottsdale. So I like knew who he was. So it was good to see him do well versus Marvin Harrison, who's the best receiver in the country. That matchup was awesome. Marvin Harrison was killing it until that huge hit he took. I mean, Ohio State, you don't want to say they should have won the game, but they very easily could have and been in the national championship.
Yeah. Now I didn't get a good look at the kick. I never really saw the replay I wanted to, but it just felt like something was off. I don't know if it was a bad hold or the kid just didn't get his foot on the ball quite the right way. One thing they brought up is Ohio State beat Utah by a field goal last year in the Rose Bowl. This was the same kicker that made that kick. So, so bummer for him.
Former North Carolina kicker.
Yeah. And like, obviously Ohio State is a really, really great team. I was surprised they were able to get 41 on that Georgia defense. You know, probably not, you know, quite as good a defense as they were last year. I still think, you know, far and away the best defense in college football, though. And so looking at that, and then you see TCU puts 51 points on Michigan, not quite the defense of Georgia, obviously. But there's some things that, you know, make us think this could be an interesting game next week.
I'm really excited. It's I think a 13.5 point spread right now where Georgia's favored. I'm surprised it's that much. I think it might even go up a little bit, but TCU just showed they can hang with anybody.
Yeah.
You know, and they play really well. They play really good defense. They got a lot of good transfers, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And Georgia, I mean, Ohio State got their butts handed to them by Michigan. That was a much better game they played against Georgia than against Michigan. But like, I don't think Georgia's infallible like maybe we thought they were.
Yes, and that is what makes this exciting. We got one team that just knows how to win really, really close games. Georgia has got some problems. You mentioned Stenson Bennett played better in this game than you thought he was going to, but still is Stenson Bennett. I think he kind of has a lot to prove despite winning the national championship last year. Is there any reason not to go with Georgia, though?
I feel like you have – I feel you have to go with Georgia, but you'd wouldn't be surprised if TCU does win or make it a close game. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I'd be surprised if it was like a 20-point-plus blowout. If Georgia, let's say it's like a one-possession game, Georgia gets a late touchdown at the end, that wouldn't be surprising either. Mm-hmm. I know this isn't great analysis saying anything could happen, but like I will say it would have been fun if Ohio State won. Because that would have been the ultimate revenge tour for TCU because they deserved to be in 2014.
That would have been lots and lots of fun.
They deserve to be the national champions. They're the best team in the country in 2014. Ohio State got in ahead of them. Last week of the year, last game they played, they won 55-3 and they dropped from 3-6. Like what?
Yeah, no, we've talked about that. That was garbage, obviously.
Stupid.
So I don't know. Yeah, looking at it and thinking about it that way. You know, this might be for national television what ESPN might want. I wonder if this might not be the matchup they wanted the least, simply because, you know, Georgia-Michigan would have been 1-2. TCU-Ohio State would have been, like what you mentioned, Ohio State passing TCU at the end. You could have had Michigan-Ohio State, which would have been phenomenal.
Would have been insane.
That would have been crazy. That would have been... I mean, I had last year when Duke played North Carolina in the semifinals of March Madness, I didn't think a college football event could be bigger than that. I think Michigan, Ohio State, the national championship of football probably would have been bigger than that.
I think it'd get more ratings for sure.
Oh, yeah. More ratings for sure. For me personally, this is a great matchup. I'm very excited to see. Probably not what ESPN wanted. But I would love to see TCU get a national championship.
That'd be very cool. Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think of the last time someone who like wasn't like a Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson won the national championship. Like,
I mean, we'd have to look. Yeah. I mean, it might certainly not in the playoff era.
Yeah. Cause like, and even like counting like blue bloods, like LSU and like Texas won. In 2000, like Texas was the last team for a while to not be an SEC team to win it when they won with Vince Young. After that, Florida won, and then the SEC won a bunch until Ohio State won. Then the SEC has won most of them. Is it like Tennessee, 98, or Colorado? I think they won them in like 2000 or something like that.
Colorado has a national championship in football?
They do.
Wow.
Yeah. No, Colorado's was in 1990, so way before. So Tennessee, well, no, Tennessee still. But yeah, Colorado was the national championship.
Shocking.
Yeah, they were, back in the day, Colorado-Nebraska, which I talk about a lot, was an awesome game. Now it wouldn't be.
Yeah, I knew Nebraska was a big deal, obviously, but just Colorado, for some reason, never seemed important or interesting.
No.
Football-wise.
Yeah, we
great
were.
Great cross-country team. Football, not so much in our lifetime.
Skiing program, I think, is also not as good as Utah's, but pretty good.
Not as good as the U.
The nice thing, though, about, like, Colorado ski resorts is they're equidistant from Salt Lake City and Denver. So everyone in those two cities can get there pretty easily.
Yeah, so that's nice.
Yeah.
That's good.
But, yeah, Colorado-Nebraska, when I was a kid, that was one of my favorite games of the year. Along with Kansas-Missouri, Colorado-Nebraska was a bigger deal. But now those teams don't play anymore. It's stupid.
Yeah, that is this realignment thing, you know.
Instead of Colorado-Nebraska, we're going to get UCLA-Iowa.
Yeah,
which is awesome.
Yeah, like, tradition at its finest.
Purdue USC, really looking forward to that. Anyways, yeah, that's the national championship. I think you have to pick Georgia to win, but I maybe with the points, like we're picking like the spread, I would maybe roll TCU just because I do think it's more likely to be a close game than a blowout.
Yeah,
but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, should be good. Excited.
Yeah, the two New Year's Six games today. Tulane came back. It was 30-45 with what, like 3 minutes left, 4 minutes left, something.
Yeah, great ending. It was, yeah, I'm gonna say 4 minutes just because. I mean, honestly, it could have been that fast though.
Like, I went to the bathroom because I thought it was over, and then I come up and you're like, Tulane scored and got a safety and has the ball, and like I was going number one.
Yeah, so their touchdown drive. So USC scores. Tulane has two huge plays for a touchdown. So that drive is only two plays long. Then they have, and this was something where I was texting someone, and so I didn't get a good look, but the USC returner totally muffed the return. They're on the 1 yard line. They end up with a safety. So then they get the ball back, move back really quickly. So probably the best, you know, the quickest comeback I've seen live in college football.
Go Green Wave. We were saying that'd be a fun place to go to school.
Yeah.
Tulane, middle of New Orleans. Last game was the Rose Bowl. Utah lost to Penn State. And we live in Salt Lake City. Our mom teaches at the University of Utah. So I follow that program pretty closely, more than you do.
Yeah.
And so Cam Rising, Utah's quarterback, got hurt, I think early third quarter, middle third quarter. And there, a guy named Bryson Barnes comes in to replace him, who's from small town Milford, Utah, initially walked on, possibly got scholarship, but like not recruited at all and deserve, like he's fine. He's whatever. But we have this kid, Nate Johnson from Clovis, California. He's a baller. He's played already this season. A lot of it was like wildcat type packages, but we're losing to Penn State. I say Utah, like Cam got hurt when it was tied, but we get down two touchdowns. You're not coming back from that with Barnes, who, and we were talking about it, the benefit of a game manager quarterback is they don't turn the ball over. And Barnes threw like the worst interception, just floated it to the free safety, basically. Like, he's not even protecting the ball. You might as well put in Johnson. So
right.
I feel like Utah just like was giving up when they didn't put Johnson in, which was really frustrating to watch. But Penn State's really good. The only two losses were to Michigan and Ohio State. Won a lot of the games like pretty handily, including this Utah one they pulled away. James Franklin, I'm surprised he doesn't, like, he has a huge contract at Penn State with a huge buyout, but I'm surprised he doesn't get talked more about two bigger programs just because of that.
Yeah, well, like Penn State is interesting. It's a hard job because I think it's one of maybe the top 15 teams in the country, probably, but they're stuck in that division with Michigan and Ohio State, who they're never, ever, ever going to be able to out-recruit. So in that sense, it might be the worst job in the country of teams that are that tier.
The nice thing, though, for them is when they go to no divisions, they have to play USC and stuff, but it won't be every year. So they're not going to have to compete with Michigan. Well, I guess they are, because you still have to compete with them for the conference, but you might not have to play them every year.
Yes, you're not going to have to play them every year. And at least you'll have an opportunity. Because some years they're going to beat Ohio State and Michigan, right? It's not going to be most years, but some years they will.
Well, one year Ohio State got to the playoff and Penn State beat them that season.
Yeah, so right. So, but I mean, like, they are going to have a better opportunity of playing in the conference championship than they do right now.
Yeah. And also with 12-team playoffs, they'll be in a good spot as well. So Penn State's going to be one of the biggest benefactors of the 12-team playoff and conference realignment for that reason. Because, like, this year they would have been in the playoff, like, for sure. And they wouldn't have gotten a bye, obviously, but they would have been in the playoff and had a shot. Ultimately, probably not going to win the whole thing, but...
Yeah.
Or you just win the Rose Bowl, which I think is great and good for them. They were stoked about it. We're talking about, like, Bryce Young, Will Anderson playing. Penn State was legitimately excited about winning the Rose Bowl, which is good because it should be a big deal.
Yeah, kind of a bummer to see from Utah, just because, you know, Kincaid did not play, Phillips didn't play.
They're two best players.
And so, obviously, you know, Cam Rising gets hurt. You think they still probably lose, but, you know, maybe they have a lead when that happens. They can run the ball a lot more, even if you decide to play as quarterback from Milford, which, by the way, I love to see a kid from Milford doing well.
I actually stayed in Milford one night because I was driving home from Vegas and there was like a blizzard.
Yeah.
So I got driven off the road and that was the only hotel. So nothing against Milford.
Right. For sure.
But I mean, they don't. Yeah. We weren't going to win with him.
Yeah. So anyway, but it would have, you know, with those guys, you know, I have to think that Utah is certainly not down, potentially has a lead if those two guys play. And again, you know, I'm not going to mess with anybody's money, so I'm happy for them, you know, doing that, but it obviously makes the game worse.
I have some breaking news before we go into the NFL.
Okay.
It's not bad or anything.
Okay, I mean, that makes me feel good because I'm watching this tomorrow. No. And so I'm nervous.
It's not football related.
Obviously hope he's okay.
Not football related. Donovan Mitchell sets Cavaliers single game record, dropping 71 points in their overtime win versus the Bulls.
Hey.
Now, I have an opinion. I'm interested in your thoughts about it. So, if Michael Jordan has the rookie playoff record, 63 points in overtime. This obviously was overtime. I feel like those should, like, have at least half of an asterisk next to them as far as, like, point totals go. Because I see 71, that's awesome, but, like, I feel like Booker, when he dropped, didn't he drop like 60 in Boston a couple years ago?
Something like that, yeah.
Regulation. I feel like that's more impressive.
Yes, I agree. You know, what people are thinking of is this is obviously, you have to think LeBron held this record before. He obviously would have had overtime games in his Cavaliers career. But you're right. You know, this should be, and I would be interested to see, like, who has the record, like, per 36 minutes or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree with you. There should be something like regulation record. I feel like that should matter more than an overtime game. Although obviously 71 like, points, I don't care. That's impressive.
Kobe's 81 was in regulation.
Yes.
As well.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Jordan's rookie record, 63 points in playoffs against the Celtics, that should be the record because ultimately that was in one game. But let's just mention, like, hey, this person had 57 in regulation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, at least have it talked about as well.
Something like that, yeah. But
that crossover that Jordan has in that game, like, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
That is sick.
That is.
It's not even like a top 20 highlight for him, probably.
Right.
I think it's dope.
Yeah.
That was very cool.
But no, I'm excited. When this football season, we're going to do our kind of a deeper dive in the NBA, and I'm excited to look at where both Rudy and Donovan are because I think they've had – the way their seasons have gone have both been very, very interesting.
Yeah. Should we talk football?
Let's talk about some football.
Do you want to start?
NFL.
NFL specifically, yeah. And we're just going to go through this playoff scenarios. Do you want to talk NFC or AFC first?
Let's talk AFC.
All right. Well, we were going to have more clarity after this Bills-Bengals game. So I don't know what's going to happen. Let's just assume it gets replayed at some point.
Yeah.
Looks like it's not happening tonight.
No, yeah, the game, I don't know if you saw this, but it was officially suspended. Obviously, we hope DeMar Hamlin's okay. We're not going to talk about it too much as we don't have a good idea about what's going on, but obviously hope he's okay.
So game got suspended. So whenever that plays, right now the Chiefs are in first place, but they have the same amount of losses as the Bills. So if the Bills win that game, they will have the tiebreaker because they beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead. So basically, the Bills, if they win, they'll be the number one seed. If the Bengals win, they'll be 12-4, same record as the Bills. Well, this is assuming all these teams win the last game of the year. They Bengals would be two seed because they'd have the tiebreaker. So Bills would either go to one seed or the three seed.
Yeah.
Based on how this goes.
And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think there's a scenario where the Bengals get the one seed. If the Chiefs lose, potentially.
Yeah, the Chiefs would have to lose to the Raiders in the last game of the year, who are playing Jared Stidham.
Yeah, that seems unlikely.
Yeah, but definitely a possibility, for sure. So there's paths for all three of those teams to get the one seed. And then the four seed is going to be, I think Jacksonville or Tennessee are in, whoever wins gets that fourth playoff spot in the South.
Love to see a fight for the four seed.
Yeah. Fifth seed. I don't know what the tiebreaker scenario is between the Chargers and the Ravens. They're both 10-6. Right now the Chargers are projected as a five seed, so I'm just going to assume that's what it is. And then the seventh seed, there are three teams at 8-8. I could not find the tiebreaker scenarios. I legitimately did look. But the Patriots, Dolphins, and Steelers are right now in the eighth spot. So the Patriots are playing the Bills, so they're probably going to lose. Dolphins are playing the Jets, so they're probably going to win. Mm-hmm. You never know. Jets, they were like 6-8 or something at one point. Like, or like 6-4. Like,
yeah, something like that. Well, you know,
people, well, I guess now there's, yeah,
are talking about, and you know, I'm not a huge Zach Wilson defender, but he is the only Jets quarterback with a winning record, which I feel like should mean something.
Well, it means their quarterback room isn't very good.
It is not very good. So, but yeah, you know, there are, I think, some interesting things happening. Obviously, that top of the AFC is a lot more important, but you know, seeing Tyler Huntley in the playoffs potentially is going to be a lot of fun. Obviously, too bad Lamar Jackson can't play, but you know, Tyler Huntley as a Utah guy, that'd be fun to see him.
One other possibility: last week, Bengals play the Ravens. If the Bengals lose today and then to the Ravens, I do think there's a chance the Ravens would win that division.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And I'm not sure who has a tiebreaker there, but the Ravens would at least have one win over the Bengals. And I think it'd come down to in-division record. Off the top of my head, Ravens have two Steelers losses, which aren't going to help them. So yeah, it might still be the Bengals, but that'd be a fun scenario.
Yeah.
I ultimately think that Miami's going to get the seventh spot. And then they would play, I'm picking the Jaguars. Let's just say Ravens stay at six. They would play either the Bills or the Bengals probably. Then the Chargers would play Jaguars, who we already talked about. So the Dolphins would play the two seed, which probably either the Bills or the Chiefs. There's a lot of movement, a lot of possibilities. It feels to me like we have the teams locked in for the most part, and just some order could fluctuate a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. Like you said, the Patriots potentially could make it. The Titans could theoretically get in. But, you know, certainly at the top, any of the teams that we think actually have a shot of making the Super Bowl, those I think are the Chiefs, Bills, Bengals.
I agree. I was just about to say that. It's a three-team conference, I think. So getting the one seed is huge. For multiple reasons. A, you get the bye. B, you'd play the winner of the other two instead of having to play both of them.
Right.
Like, so the one seed would play probably the Chargers, still a very good team, in the divisional round. But the Bills would, let's say it's the Chiefs, Bills would play the Bengals, so Cincinnati would have to beat Buffalo, then Kansas City. All three of these teams have played each other already. So the one seed is massive. So this Cincinnati, again, not getting played right now. Eventually, we'll get played. That's a massive game for the standings. Because probably going to determine the one seed, assuming the other three teams win their division or win week 18.
Right. Yeah.
Let's go to the NFC.
Let's go to the NFC.
All right. So right now, and this there's a little more movement. So Eagles right now, 2-game losing streak, but they're 13-3 in the one spot. They played the Giants last week of the year. Mm-hmm. 49ers have the same record as the Vikings. The Niners did get the 2 seed out of that. I'm not sure why, but I'm not going to complain about it. Buccaneers locked up the 4 spot, that NFC South division. So they're probably going to play the Cowboys. The Cowboys could get into a win the division if the Eagles lose and they win Sunday. Cowboys are playing the Commandos. So that, I think, is the most two interesting games, because the Eagles could stay at 1 or drop to 5, possibly.
Right, which would be very frustrating. But honestly, I think it's a real possibility. You know, the Giants are not the best team in the NFC, but they're a good team. You know, they, I think, have a pretty good chance. Well, they're currently the 6th seed, so they're currently going to the playoffs, and they are really, really going to want to win that game to make sure that they're in the playoffs if they haven't guaranteed themselves the playoffs already.
They have clinched the playoffs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that makes me feel a lot better.
I think, I might be wrong, but I think the Giants are locked into the 6th spot, which is good for you.
Yes. Yeah, that is definitely good. They're still definitely going to want to win that game. I think they're a very good team. And then, yeah, look, without Jalen Hurts, clearly this has not been working without him. Offense did not look good at all against the Saints, who are not a great team. So ultimately, even though I think the Eagles are going to pull it together, make sure they get the 1 seed, definitely something to be aware of.
Yeah, and then as far as the 7th seed, so if the Packers win, they're in. And that's the last game of the night, is Lions-Packers. So if Seattle wins and Green Bay wins, Green Bay's in. If Seattle wins and Detroit wins, Seattle's in. If Seattle loses to the Rams and the Lions win, then the Lions are in. So the Lions are in the worst spot, basically.
Yeah.
Because they need the most. They need. Well, I guess the Lions and the Seahawks are in the same position because they need something else to happen plus their game. Packers just need a win.
Yeah. Which is interesting that they're currently 9. And so the way that those things are going to change is very, very strange. Packers also are playing the Vikings, who are definitely the best team. Lions play the Bears. Seahawks play the Jets.
So that's actually the last games.
Oh.
This is wrong.
Oh, because week 17 used to be the last week.
Yeah.
And then that doesn't matter anymore.
So these two are playing each other, which will be Sunday Night Football, which will be good. Especially if Seattle loses against the Rams, which they probably won't. But if they do, it'll be a winner gets into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Which will be awesome.
That will be
good. And I think we have to objectively cheer for Detroit.
Oh, for sure. You know, Jamal Williams is like 6 yards away, something very close to having a 1,000-yard season, which I love. Jamal Williams, top 5 BYU player for sure. So be thrilled for him. Be fun to see the Lions make the playoffs after all these years. Because, you know, they're a team that we joke about being bad, but, like, I don't – like, I kind of dislike the Jets. I've never disliked the Lions. Like, they've had fun players.
No, yeah, and Jared Goff has been good. Jamal Williams, our guy, has been awesome. And they've, like, drafted – like, Malcolm Rodriguez is a 6th-round pick. I loved him at Oklahoma State. Starting linebacker, he's been playing really well. Aiden Hutchinson's been playing really well. Penei Sewell, also from Utah. Mm-hmm. St. George, but technically Utah. Awesome. He's been playing really good. Like, they just hit on a ton of – like, when Seattle had, like, 2 drafts in a row where they drafted, like, 7 starters or whatever, like, that's what Detroit's been doing.
Yeah.
So – I'm interested to see what they do in the draft, because do they just go with Jared Goff? Because the Rams are going to have a top 5 pick that they're giving to Detroit, plus Detroit will have their own pick. So do they try to get a quarterback, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis maybe, or do they just stick with Jared Goff and load up still at – do what the Eagles have been doing, where their quarterback they think is good enough and they just load up at other spots.
Yeah. So good for them to be in that position. You know, who would have thought that this is how the Pigs would have worked out when they did that trade, right?
Yeah.
That seems just crazy to me. But, yeah, good for the Lions for making that trade and, you know.
Well, and the Saints are going to give the Eagles, you know, that Saints game was big for Philly Saints game this past week, because if the Eagles would have won, they would have, like, all but locked up the 1 seed and made the draft pick better.
Yeah. So,
tough loss for you.
So, really, huge bummer.
But they basically are going to trade a top 10 pick for Chris Olave.
Yeah.
Which – he's good, but I feel like Saints have enough roster problems where that's not going to be doing it. But
right.
Already done. What do you do? So, yeah, I hope. Now, the Rams and the Seahawks are my two least favorite teams, so I'm probably not going to watch that game. But just for entertainment, I hope Seattle loses so that the Lions-Packers becomes a win-in-your-in situation.
Yeah, that would be lots and lots of fun. You know, seeing Aaron Rodgers, who has kind of turned into a villain against the underdog Lions, would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and in this conference, if we're looking at the playoff picture, I also think it's a three-team conference, but it's not going to be the top three seeds because I think it's Philly, San Francisco, and Dallas are the only teams with a realistic shot to win that conference. And one of Philly or Dallas are going to have to go on the road a bunch.
Yes. Yeah. And that's going to be, it's going to be interesting because we are going to end up with either the Eagles playing the 49ers in the conference semifinals, which would be a lot of fun because they're our favorite teams, or we get the Cowboys 49ers in the conference semifinals, which just as a football historian is lots and awesome. Lots of fun.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Like best. Maybe best non-division rivalry in all football, probably.
If you factor in history, I think it is for sure. Yeah.
So, I would love to see that. I would love for the Eagles to not have to go on the road and do all that stuff.
Niners beat the Cowboys last year in the playoffs, which was sweet, in Dallas.
Yeah. Now I do think, still unsure Jalen Hurts' status for this week coming up. I do think he's going to be in the playoffs, which is going to make me feel a lot better. And I would still pick the Eagles to beat the Cowboys. I don't feel great about the Eagles playing three road games to get to the conference finals.
No,
that does not feel great.
And I might be wrong, but assuming the 49ers beat the Cardinals, who are like their four-string quarterback, I think if the Eagles lose, then the Niners would be the one seed. And if the Eagles win, then the Eagles would be the one seed. I think Dallas would be in the playoffs still because they have the same record. I think I saw that the Niners have the tiebreaker, so I'm not sure if Dallas would be the two or the three seed at that point.
Okay. Well, I at least don't want to lose the one seed to the Cowboys. I'd be okay giving it to the 49ers. Yeah. I don't want to give it to the Cowboys.
Well, one of the interesting things here, so as it stands right now, let's just say Eagles 1, Niners 2, Vikings 3 as it is. So first round, the Cowboys would play the Buccaneers. That was the first game of the year. The Giants would play the Vikings, who they just played like a couple weeks ago, and Giants barely won or barely lost. And then the Niners would play either the Packers, Lions, or Seahawks. And from that perspective, I'd love the Seahawks to win so we could beat them one more time.
Yeah.
Or beating Aaron Rodgers is always fun. Do you remember the playoff game last year in Lambeau with the 49ers?
No.
It was one of those ones where Jimmy Garoppolo led an offense that scored like 10 points and they won. And Jimmy Garoppolo got credit because he's so amazing.
Right.
And it was so annoying. Yeah. Like the Vikings game when they went to the Super Bowl, Jimmy Garoppolo threw the ball 8 times and they destroyed the Vikings. Everyone was like, oh, Jimmy's so good. Oh, no.
Yeah.
It was dumb. Anyway.
Yeah. But, you know, and from that perspective, too, I wouldn't mind seeing with the Seahawks, I wouldn't mind seeing Geno Smith make the playoffs. Again, you know, see someone stick with it for that long.
Story of the year, probably, honestly.
Yeah.
So let's assume any of those things happen and the favorites win except the Cowboys. So the Cowboys, Vikings, Niners win first week of the playoffs. Let's just say that for fun. So in that scenario, the Niners would play the Vikings and the Eagles would play the Cowboys. So because of that, again, the one seed's better because you have a buy-in home field advantage. But the two seed has an easier path because they get to play the Vikings instead of either Dallas or Philadelphia.
Yes, which is kind of interesting.
So it's not as clear cut, and the AFC want to be the one seed no matter what. In the NFC, it's not the end of the world because there's still some pros to being the two seed.
Yes.
And let's say you're the two seed and whoever's the five seed beats the one seed out of the Eagles, Dallas, you get a home game. In the NFC Championship game.
Which is good. So, and, you know, as the Eagles, I would not mind playing the Vikings again because we smoked them earlier in the season.
Yeah. I thought at the beginning of the year it was going to be Niners-Chiefs Super Bowl. That's still my pick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where you're at, where your thoughts are.
I am, you know, I do need to see Jalen Hurts come back. Jalen Hurts comes back and feels good, and he looks like he did before. I'm going to pick the Eagles. Yeah, I don't know. Chiefs are a good pick. Yeah, probably the Chiefs. I kind of want to pick the Bills, but I also just think, you know, Patrick Mahomes, obviously, but also Andy Reid, you know, all that experience. I feel like he can get to another Super Bowl, especially if he has that one seed, has home field advantage all that time.
I would pick, not with no particular reason, but the Bengals over the Bills. But obviously, a lot of it depends on the seeding and how that breaks down.
Yeah.
Should we go to the top five?
Let's do the top five.
So this week's top five is best bowl games. Now, not the best ones that happened in 2022/2023, but just in general, like what are the coolest bowl games, not factoring in college football playoff or anything like that.
Yes.
Here's the top five. Ready?
Ready.
Number one's obviously Rose Bowl.
Good.
Clear cut.
Okay.
No brainer. Number two is the Cotton Bowl, but played in the Cotton Bowl, not in Jerry World.
Yeah.
Because that is iconic. There's been a ton of awesome games there. It should have been, in my opinion, a BCS Bowl. It luckily got cut into the New Year's Six Bowl. But the Cotton Bowl is awesome, historic. Number three is the Sugar Bowl. And a lot of the reason is because there's usually an SEC team there. They're usually the best team. The one I'm thinking of is when Georgia won the national championship when Herschel Walker just ran all over Notre Dame in the 1980 Sugar Bowl. Now, unfortunately, Herschel Walker is the ultimate example of don't meet your heroes. But as a football player, he was the man.
Absolutely.
So the Sugar Bowl is three. Number four, have to go with the Orange Bowl. I think the coolest game is like that Miami Nebraska game, I believe, was in the Orange Bowl. So nothing major to say about it. Number five, skipping the Fiesta Bowl, skipping the Peach Bowl, going to the Holiday Bowl.
Oh, okay.
Some all-time classics in the Holiday Bowl, especially as BYU grads. We're privy to a lot of those. Almost made the cut, also the Alamo Bowl. That's a big bowl game, prestigious, but
yeah.
Rose, Cotton in the Cotton Bowl, Sugar, Orange, Holiday Bowl are the top five bowl games.
Okay, very good. So this is actually the only time you've ever given me a heads up on the top five, so I had a little bit of time to think about it.
Yes. Well, usually I think of it during the episode.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. But, you know, I was thinking about it. It's like, okay, I don't only want New Year's Six Bowls, you know, just partially for variety's sake. And so I do think Rose Bowl has to be number one.
It has to be.
Unfortunately, being the oldest one. I knocked the Cotton Bowl out for kind of the reasons that you said. It's not at the Cotton Bowl anymore, and so it has to lose points. So, you know, we look at it historically. I understand that that's a bigger deal, but if it doesn't have the luster right now, like when we were growing up, it wasn't quite as big of a deal because it wasn't a BCS Bowl. So I think it lost some of its luster, unfortunately.
Yeah, and now Texas OU play there. SMU used to play there. I should know if they still do or not. I don't think they do, but they might. But, like, it just used to be so cool, like, such a cool stadium, like, in Dallas, which is, like, a lot of, like, the heart of football in a lot of ways. And it's just not that anymore. Like,
yeah.
It's not in the stadium was such a big part of it because, like, of so much stuff that happened there.
Right, definitely.
So,
yeah. So, I dropped Cotton Bowl. I had Orange Bowl. I didn't list it out, but I probably would have Orange Bowl number two. Makes me think of Miami, which is... Okay. You know, maybe number one fun team.
You're thinking of those same Miami teams I'm thinking of.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So that obviously they had, you know, very important game. Kind of Miami 2.0 was in the Fiesta Bowl, but, you know, those earlier teams,
yeah.
I think of the Orange Bowl. That was their home stadium, wasn't it? Was the Orange Bowl?
Well, it is now. I don't know if it, like, because Hard Rock's new, so I'm not sure where they played it before.
Yeah.
Because now they play the Orange Bowl in Hard Rock, where Miami and the Dolphins play. Miami, like, the university doesn't have an on-campus stadium.
Right.
So I think you're right, but I'm also not 100% sure.
Yeah, fair enough. But Holiday Bowl is also one. Yeah, obviously that's BYU got their national championship there. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe the only national championship is beginning out with the Holiday Bowl.
I'm not sure. The Miracle Bowl was in the Holiday Bowl.
Miracle Bowl was in the Holiday Bowl. So obviously very important. And then number four, I actually put Poinsettia Bowl.
Do they even have that anymore?
I don't know if they have it. I was looking through. I haven't seen it. But the reason I picked it is because, you know, growing up, when BYU went to the Poinsettia Bowl, which happened more than once, I was always excited to go to the Poinsettia Bowl. It felt like it was going to be a good game, and it felt like it mattered. You know, when we went to the Las Vegas Bowl, I was kind of disappointed.
And Poinsettia Bowl was a bigger deal, for sure.
Yeah, Poinsettia Bowl is a bigger deal. You have all the Navy people there from San Diego.
Shout out to Top Gun. We just watched it.
Yeah, and I kind of like, you know, I like bowls that have, you know, symbols and props. Like, the reason I put Orange Bowl number 2 is you get that big bowl of oranges, people throwing oranges at each other. Obviously, Rose Bowl, people have the roses. I feel like Poinsettia was a really good symbol of that. I don't know, and probably number 5 doesn't matter. We can say Sugar Bowl, probably. I guess that's what I'd pick. I don't know. I don't think I have that many bowl games from that side of the country, so to bring it back over, we'll say Sugar Bowl.
The Orange Bowl, yeah, I remember Matt Leiner, the Orange Bowl, like, throwing out oranges. Like, that was one of my first memories of football was that.
So. Yeah, like, that's a cool thing. You know, you can't do that with the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Like, I'm glad they made a joke out of it, but that's not the same thing.
No, it's not.
So.
The Orange Bowl is just, like, classic. Ton of big games there as well, so you're exactly right. Yeah, if I think of them, I'll try to give you a heads up more, but sometimes I just think of them on the spot. But I'm running out of things I can do off the top of my head. So appreciate everybody listening. Again, today's January 2nd. Probably be listening to this as early as the 3rd. Hope everybody had a good new year. Next week, college football national championship and the playoffs will be set. So it's a very busy week at work for Jake, me, but we'll have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
So next week will be awesome. So appreciate everybody listening. If you haven't given us a 5-star review or subscribe, please do so. We're a little late to the game, but we'll be okay with that. And we'll talk to you next week.